Hello and welcome to A Public Affair on KGNU. I'm your host, Phoebe Donovan. Today my guest is Sayantani Dasgupta, New York Times bestselling author of the critically acclaimed Bengali folktale and string theory-inspired Kirimala and the Kingdom Beyond books. She is a pediatrician by training, but now teaches at Columbia University. Today we'll be talking about her new book, Debating Darcy, a modern multicultural speech and debate feminist reimagining of Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice. Hi, Sayantani Dasgupta. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Phoebe, thanks so much for speaking with me. I'm so excited.
Without giving anything away, can you share a brief description of Debating Darcy for listeners who haven't read it yet?
Yeah, absolutely. So Debating Darcy is a multicultural feminist reimagining of Jane Austen's beloved Pride and Prejudice. And it is set in what we're calling the high stakes world of high school speech and debate. And it's essentially the story of Leela Bose, who is a public high schooler who does speech competitions, which is actually something that I did when I was in high school. It's like competitive acting. You act out scenes from different plays. And she's going along. She has this kind of motley crew of teen members who are like a family to her. And she's kind of going along, having fun, doing her thing in high school, when she runs across Feroz Darcy, who's, you know, kind of a snobby, privileged, or so she thinks, snobby, privileged debater from the exclusive Netherfield Academy. So Leela gets so irritated by this guy that she decides she's going to take him down a peg or two. And so she transfers over to debate. She decides she's going to argue this guy, you know, into submission. She's going to humiliate him. She has vengeance on her mind. But in the process, they kind of start liking each other and maybe even like debating their way into falling in love. So it's a rom-com with kind of issues woven throughout. But at its heart, like Jane Austen, it's a funny, fast kind of book that's about wit and humor and really like debating the issues that impact our lives.
Very nice. You said you took speech and debate in high school too. Was your experience similar to either Leela or Darcy's?
No, well, I certainly didn't meet any arrogant fellows who I debated into submission. That is an entirely imagined situation. I also never actually debated, so I only did speech. I was also in like the theater club, the drama club, and I did musical theater. And I think that the overlap of people who did speech competition and like drama club was like almost 100%. So that was my crew. But I did definitely have some friends who did debate, and I was always intrigued by it. And so in writing this book, I researched because I wanted to make sure not only that I got the debate stuff right, but that I got the debate stuff right for 2022. Like, what are high schoolers doing now, as opposed to back when I was in high school in the ancient days?
Did you always know that you wanted to be a writer?
I think so. That's a great question. When I was very young, gave me this notebook, and he said, write down everything, keep all your poems, keep all your stories, don't ever get rid of them. And I'm seven, maybe. And I think what that did is it taught me to take myself seriously and my words seriously and my ideas seriously. And that is such a gift. And so whenever I go to schools and school visits to talk to young people, look, you don't have to be published to be a writer. You just have to love words. You have to love stories. You have to love writing. And take yourself seriously. Keep all your work. Don't be too hard on yourself. But also, don't take yourself too seriously. In other words, be willing to edit. Be willing to change. Be willing to grow. So I think I have always thought of myself as a writer, but because of this gift that my dad gave me, not just the notebook, but kind of the belief in myself that I could be a writer.
Yeah, and that's really great advice. So when did you first read Pride and Prejudice and get into Jane Austen books?
So how old are you in eighth grade? You're 13?
I'm 14.
14, okay. So I was maybe 12, 13, 14, right around that age. I'm guessing eighth grade, maybe like the summer between eighth and ninth grade. My mom handed me a copy of Pride and Prejudice and said, I think you'll really like this. And actually, I might even have the copy on my desk right now. So nice. Dear listeners, I'm showing it to Phoebe. It's kind of all yellow and, you know, torn up from having been read many times. But I didn't want to read it. I looked at the title and I thought, oh, this is going to be a scoldy book about like, don't be prideful, don't be prejudiced or something like that. I don't know what I thought. And so I didn't admit it to my mom when I finally read it and I loved it. Mm-hmm. This isn't about anything like that. This is about balls. It's about five sisters looking for love. It's about sisterly love. It's about romance. It's about kind of the marriage story. It's funny. I like Jane Austen because she kind of pokes fun at serious things. Like she uses humor to talk about women's roles, or she uses humor to look at the unfairness of like class distinction, like rich people acting like they're so much better than people with less, you know, resources. So I absolutely loved it. And that was the beginning of my Jane Austen obsession. I have now read and reread all the books bunches of times and seen all the movies and seen play, like done all the things over and over and over again.
Is Pride and Prejudice your favorite?
I think so. Because it was the first I read. Yeah. Also just because Lizzie Bennet, who's the heroine, you know, my heroine is Lila Bose. Lizzie Bennet is the original heroine. He's just so, you know, kind of strong and outspoken and full of life and not kind of willing to take nonsense from Darcy. And she, you know, kind of points out his arrogance to him and he grows from that. But she also grows from knowing him.
Yeah.
And I love that, right? I love it when like two imperfect people become a better version of themselves by virtue of knowing each other. That's like the best romance to me.
Yeah. And that's the reason you chose to do Pride and Prejudice as opposed to any of the other Jane Austen books? Because you wanted to do something like that?
I think so. I think I love the book so much. And I ended up writing this novel, that funny, you know, kind of hard, sad winter of 2020. And I wrote it because I needed the comfort of this very familiar... You must know this. You're a big reader. Told me stories that you've read over and over. They kind of become a part of yourself. They're like old friends you can return to. They're very comforting. They're a part of your personality almost. And that's how I felt about it. But the one thing I wanted to do was, you know, I'm an immigrant daughter. I'm a, you know, woman of color. I love these novels, but they're not necessarily exactly about people who look like me. And so what I wanted to do was both pay homage to the original novel, but also write a new version of it where kind of a plethora of new types of people could see themselves. So I love Jane Austen, but of course, as an immigrant daughter, as a woman of color, there aren't necessarily people who look exactly like me in Jane Austen's novels. So while I wanted to go back to the comfort of Pride and Prejudice and this very familiar story that I love so much, I also wanted to make space for and insert new sorts of people, right? People from all sorts of different backgrounds into this story, because Jane Austen is for everybody.
I'm very interested in how you not only took a novel set at the turn of the 19th century and adapted it to fit modern times, but also the cultural shift from Georgian England to US and South Asian popular culture. From your point of view, what are the main similarities and differences between the two times and cultures?
Ooh, Phoebe, you're throwing me, you know, hardballs here. This is a, this is a great question. So I think that Desi communities, South Asian communities, diasporic communities, love Austen for a number of reasons. Gurinder Chadha, the great director who directed Bend It Like Beckham, also directed a film called Bride and Prejudice, which is a you know, South Asian version of Pride and Prejudice a number of years ago. And what she honed in on is, I think, the similarities, as you're saying, between Georgian England and modern day South Asian diasporic communities, which is the importance of marriage and family connections to mm-hmm. communities, right? In both those times. And marriage is a kind of central way that families connect. You know, it's a huge kind of celebratory affair. It's really important in kind of cultural life. And I think that that's true. You know, I think that that's absolutely true. It's not the reason I adore Jane Austen so much. Mm-hmm. Yes, I absolutely love her for the romance, for the marriage, all of that stuff. But as I said before, for me, it's that kind of rapier sharp wit of hers. Mm-hmm. She's just so funny. And so to me, I was scared to write this book. I was actually really nervous because I thought, well, if it's not funny, I'm not doing Jane Austen justice, because this is the wittiest author, you know, I've ever read.
It's kind of pressure to live up to it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's such a pressure to live up to it. So, so for me, it's the humor, but mm-hmm. I definitely see the resonance of kind of that marriage, the centrality of marriage in Austen's time and then in current day South Asian communities. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a parallel as well.
Yeah. Was having to follow the story structure and plot line of Pride and Prejudice, like, was it a limitation for you while writing Debasing Darcy, or was it helpful? What was it?
You know, it's interesting, Phoebe. I think there are many, many ways to interpret any story. And, you know, you can stick very closely to the plot. And that's what I really did in Debating Darcy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are a number of balls throughout Pride and Prejudice. And instead of, you know, we don't really go to that many balls.
Yeah.
Modern day times, right? I don't know about you, but I don't go to so many balls.
Me neither.
So all of the balls are speech and debate tournaments. So I knew that I was going to structure the book like that, where each ball is a speech and debate tournament that Darcy and Leela are meeting at. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up actually sticking fairly closely to the plot, you know, to be perfectly honest, not on purpose, mostly because I love Pride and Prejudice so much. It's kind of ingrained in my brain, like it's a part of my DNA. So I kind of went pretty closely to the plot, even though I was modernizing it. Except right at the end, I kind of mm-hmm. blew up the plot at the end, mostly because I wanted the terrible and, you know, cad like Mr. Wickham to get his just desserts. I wanted him to, you know, get what he deserved at the end of my version. However, that said, the next kind of companion book that I've written already, actually, is Sense and Sensibility based. It's called Rosewood, a Midsummer Meet Cute. And that's like Shakespeare meets Sense and Sensibility meets Austen Land meets, I don't know, High School Musical. And for that one, it's about two sisters, and I very roughly follow the plot of Sense and Sensibility. But with that one, I was more inspired by Sense and Sensibility mm-hmm. as opposed to really trying to stick to the plot of that novel.
Yeah,
and that was also really fun because I got to teach myself, hey, there's more than one way to do this thing. Like, I can reimagine Jane Austen pretty close to the plot, but I can also reimagine her not so close to the plot. Mm-hmm. So that's been fun. That's been fun to do.
Yeah. For listeners who may just now be joining us, my name is Phoebe Donovan, and I'm your host for today's A Public Affair. My guest is Sayantani Dasgupta, author of the newly released Debating Darcy. The book is a modern retelling of Pride and Prejudice for young readers. I should mention for the audience that I myself am a young reader. I'm currently in 8th grade. I'm wondering, as an author seeking to connect with a younger audience, what's your writing process like?
You know, I have teenagers, so I'm a mom. I have teenagers. I'm also a pediatrician by training, so I've spent most of my professional life with young people. I no longer see patients, but I also teach at a college level, which you will be surprised is not that, like, they're also still pretty young. I know for you, you know, 14 college seems like it's so much older perhaps, but really isn't. Like, they're also just young people starting off on their lives. So I'm really fortunate because I feel like a lot of adults forget the incredible experience of being a younger person and also overlook maybe the incredible insight and intelligence that younger people have. I often say, if you want a person with a real sense of justice, go to somebody 8 to 14. Like, that's it. Like, they have a real sense of what's right and wrong in the world. So in a sense, I love writing for young people because, you know, I love interacting with young people. I love learning from young people. But of course, I am not a young, person. You know, I've already told
sounds
you that
like
I'm a
you
mom with
spend
teenagers.
Quite a lot of time.
I don't
with them
go to
now.
High school. You know, I haven't been in high school in a long time. So, gosh, writing a YA novel set in 2022, where people are texting with one another, right? I didn't have a cell phone in high school, so I had to go to my own teenagers, and they gave me a hard time, Phoebe. I'll tell you the truth. They scolded me. They were like, "Mom, these, you know, text sections, they sound like somebody's mom texting." I'm like, I am somebody's mom texting. They're like, no, but it can't sound. So they helped me. They're like, don't capitalize this, don't do that. So there are absolutely challenges to being a not teenager writing for teenagers. But in my mind, the joys and the privileges far outweigh the occasional scoldings I get from my own kids.
The characters in your book are very well-rounded and go against a lot of stereotypes. Were you intentionally not conforming to stereotypes? And also, how important do you think it is for literature to unpack and break away from the stereotypes that we're constantly surrounded by in media?
Phoebe, are you sure that this is not your profession? Because these are some fantastic questions. Some of the most fantastic I've gotten.
I thought about it a lot.
The best kind of questions and the best kind of conversations teach you about yourself, you know, and I feel like I'm learning a lot talking to you. So thank you. I do think it's really important to reflect the world around us in books and have the world around us be reflected in books. I think it's really important to push against kind of harmful stereotypes, particularly for people and communities who either haven't been represented well in the past or, you know, were just not represented at all. So when I was growing up, I'm a daughter of Indian immigrants. I grew up, you know, at a time when there really wasn't a lot of diversity in literature in this country. And so basically, I loved books. I loved stories. I was a huge reader. But I never really saw myself in those books or movies or billboards or whatever that I, you know, saw around me. And what happens is you end up getting this really terrible message. You end up getting this message of, gee, I don't see any heroes who look like me. Maybe someone like me can't be a hero, doesn't deserve to be a hero, isn't smart enough or pretty enough or whatever to be a hero. And that, of course, is a really false idea. It's a harmful idea, but I carried it around in me for years. So to me, it is really critical. I almost feel like I'm writing for everybody who's young now, yes, but I'm also writing for that like 12-year-old, 13-year-old me who still lives somewhere inside of me who had that false idea, right? Who didn't see herself represented at all. Or if I was represented, it represented badly, right? In a stereotypical way with, you know, almost like making fun of my community. So to me, it's really just so critical to celebrate the beauty and diversity and richness and three-dimensionality of all people, right? All people, and have that in your characters, right? Each character is going to be unique no matter what their ethnic background is. Some are going to be quick tempered like Leela is. Some are going to be a bit more reserved like Feroz is. So I was purposefully, you know, trying to develop not just well-rounded characters, but characters who went against stereotypes.
Mm-hmm. Even though I think it is becoming slowly more diverse, we have inherited a literary canon that was mostly written by old white men. How important do you think diversity is in the books that young people read? Not just in the characters, but in like the authors and who they are seeing as being the, I don't know how to phrase this, the
like authority figures, yes, or like, right, people who, yeah, are worthy of teaching them things.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I think you're going to guess my answer, which, yeah, is, I think it's really important. Dr. Rudine Sims Bishop, who is a professor emeritus at Ohio State University, she had this classic article. It was called Mirrors, Windows, and Sliding Glass Doors. And her idea was that literature can be a mirror. It can show you your own face, reflect your own life to you. It can be a window. It can be insight into somebody else's life. And if it's really, if the pain is really clear, right, if the story is really sharp, it can be like a sliding glass door. It can invite you into this whole other world. And I think that all three of those functions are really important in stories. But as you said, Phoebe, it's also really important to think about who's writing stories and make sure that we're not, you know, limiting who we think of as worthy of teaching us things to one category of people, that we are really seeking out, you know, a wide range, a plethora of voices. And that is, I think, even more critical now than ever when there's a lot of controversy in different communities about pulling books or banning books. I think books save lives, stories save lives. People need to see themselves loved and respected and represented in books. All of us need that. All young people need that.
Yeah, definitely.
And so I think, right, more than ever, I think it's up to all of us to fight for stories, right? Fight for books and make sure that a kid themselves or a family themselves can decide, hey, I don't want to read that book. That's not for me. Great, right? Of course, you can always decide that. But not allowing the availability of books to for everyone, that's what worries me. And so I think it's absolutely critical all the time, you know, that we see a plethora of voices represented writing books and experiences represented in books. But I feel like it's almost, you know, we're at a crisis point. Like, it's really important right now to think about that in all of our communities.
Yeah. And Debating Darcy tackles some very important social justice issues. What are the main things that you hope readers take away from it?
So, like I said before, Jane Austen actually does that beautifully, right?
Yeah.
She uses her romance, her family, you know, situation novels to talk about class difference, to talk about women's roles, to talk about the unfairness of the way that inheritance, you know, goes. The entire plot of Pride and Prejudice is that Mrs. Bennet has to marry off her five daughters because daughters can't inherit their father's estate. And if she doesn't marry them to wealthy people, they will have nothing. They will be destitute, right? Because all of their father's estate will go off to a cousin. And that's an unfair law, right? And Jane Austen is critiquing it, essentially. So I don't talk about inheritance laws, you know, this is not a spoiler, but there are no inheritance laws or like estates being entailed away from the female line in Debating Darcy. But we do talk about class difference. We do talk about private versus public schools and the privilege of like not having to worry about how you're going to pay for your next debate conference versus maybe a group who has to sell brownies to raise the money to go to the debate the debate competition. There's kind of a Me Too moment where a lot of the girls gather together and they express outrage at something that's going on in their club system. I also talk about things like racism and colorism. So Leela talks about like being in a ballet class. It's a very simple example. Like, she was little, she was in a ballet class, and everybody else's tights match their skin. Everybody else's shoes matched their skin, hers didn't. And she felt like she could never be cast as the swan princess or, you know, what have you, because she got the message that like, hey, you don't really look the part. So Leela, like me growing up in this country, has internalized some of these messages, but she's trying to work her way out of them too. So there are a lot of serious topics that I address, but I try to address them in a kind of natural way, not outside of the story in any way. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's really, really important to keep the humor and the wit and the romance, you know, the primary focus. And these other issues kind of just come into the mix, just like they do in Austen's books.
Yeah, there was a lot in there. Thank you so much for speaking with me today. It's been great talking to you. Is there anything else that you would like to add? Or
I would just like to add my admiration. Those were some really thoughtful questions. And
thank you.
I mean,
so
and I'm telling you this like point blank, not like, you know, I'm not saying it because of your age, more thoughtful than a lot of questions that I get, you know, from people my own age. I'm just so touched at how insightful and thoughtful your read was of the book. And I really want to thank you for all, obviously, the effort you put into.
Oh, well, thank you. And it was a really great book. I really enjoyed reading it. So thank you.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad you did. And I hope you, you know, keep doing more interviews.
I am planning on it. I had a really great time with this one. So thank you. My guest today has been author Sayantani Dasgupta, author of the new book Debating Darcy, a modern adaptation of Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice. I've been your host, Phoebe Donovan, and you're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins.